we're on fire, man. You know, God is with us. And God wants us to have a high level of expectation. He wants us to set our thoughts on things above, not on the things of the earth. He wants us to expect his great blessings and open doors and avenues in our life so that we can really truly walk with him and enjoy the fellowship together. You know, Jesus must have enjoyed the fellowship with the disciples even after a long day. You know, they would sit down at night, they'd have their food or their prayer, or they'd be talking amongst each other. And Jesus loved life. You know, he must have, I think about Jesus Christ quite a lot and how he perceived life. He was life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, you know. And he loved it with all of his heart. He loved people. And he loved God first and foremost. And he made sure that God was the priority in what he'd done so that he could bring God into manifestation through his life lived in obedience to God to touch and to connect people to God. You know, because Jesus wasn't getting people to pray to him. He was getting people to pray to God. He was getting people to go to God. He was showing them how to pray. He was showing them how to speak, how to live, and how to move, and to walk in that grace and the power of God. And so his life was lived in that way. And he lived in the love of God and in the power and manifestation of God, bringing God's answers, solutions, and direction. And, you know, and he also confronted people as well. He also challenged people. You know, there was doctrine, reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness coming from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was helping people, challenging people to have faith in God, challenging people to put God first and to have the priorities in order. He was God's man. And God's men and women will speak God's things, you know, and not, he wasn't popular with everyone. He certainly wasn't popular with the religious leaders of the day, was he? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mind you, amongst some of those Pharisees and Sadducees, there were people that had heart towards him and the things that he said. Some of their hearts were engaged in what he was saying with a genuine heart, you know, because not all men are the same. And even though they may have come from that environment, there was people like Nicodemus, very faithful to go to Jesus under the cover of darkness, because if he'd been exposed, it'd have been very dangerous for him as a Pharisee. But again, he followed from a distance. There was people that followed from a distance. And there's people that follow close up. So if you look at the disciples, they followed close up. They wanted what Jesus had. So they were willing to learn. They were willing to abide with the master, to learn from the master, so that they could practice the things that the master showed them. And this master was the master of masters. But he's the master. And he spent time with them and encouraging them, loving them, supporting them, correcting them, showing them how to believe God, showing them how to receive from God, showing them how to speak. And so, like, when we come on these fellowships, really, we want to glean everything that God is speaking through everyone, because there'll be aspects of faith that I don't have that you've got, and that how God works in you. So everyone's got something to contribute. Everyone has something to say, even if you don't think you've got something to say. When you open your mouth, God says, I will fill it. I will give you those wonderful words that you need. And it's not that about how you're feeling or if you're educated. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. Those that are going to live unto God are going to live by faith. That's the way you're going to really live. That's the way you're really going to move forward. That's the way you'll see these wonderful healings. That's the way you'll see the wonderful provision of God. And as we do those things God shows us to do, when we do those things, it's persisting in us to receive the manifestation of the power of God and the promises of God to come to pass in our life, because we're positioned ourselves, because we're being obedient. We're not following our own way, but we're following the way. And so when we start to do that, man, our life starts to get really, really blessed. God plays no favorites. And I love that. God plays absolutely no favorites. Whether you think you're on the ball or whether you think you're off the ball, if your heart is to God, he can take you from the pit to the palace and from the palace to the pit, right? Which way do you want to go? I know I want to come from the pit to the palace. So God really is with you. He's for you. And have a great expectation on God. And also within the body of Christ, when you're looking at other believers, we don't want to get entangled with the carnal side of life and living amongst believers. We want to keep it to the spiritual matters. We want to keep it led by God, those wonderful words that will build faith. Now, we may see fear on every side. We may see doubt. We may see unbelief coming from believers. But we're to be the lights of the world. See, you are the lights of the world. You can decide to switch your light on or to turn it off. What do you want to do? I want to keep my light on. I want to keep moving forward. And I want to be a great encourager to God's people that will receive God's words gladly that are coming from my mouth. Because these are God's words. These are not my words. And God has given us things that we can do in practice that will yield to us great blessings and benefits. That's why God gives us instruction. That's why God shows us what to do. That's why when Jesus walked the earth, he would say to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand. He gave him a command. He told him what to do, even though he couldn't do it before. He's saying, you can do it. Stretch forth your hand. And he did. And he got healed. His hand was made whole. Oh, the girl's dead. You know, she's sleeping, Jesus said. He brought a different perspective. He brought God's perspective into situations where a young girl died, and she was dead. So he comes and says, she's sleeping. And they're all making noise and music, you know, lamenting over her. He chucked them all out. And he went in, and he took her by the hand, and she rose up. He told the girl to rise up, to wake up. So this is just simple words, that Jesus moved with God. God showed him what to do. We can move with God the same way, literally. Jesus said, you know, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So what did Jesus do? Stretch forth thine hand. You can say stretch forth thine hand. And there may be a little bit of unbelief there, because, you know, I understand that part. When we're ministering to people, sometimes unbelief comes up in my mind. I have to cast it down. I have to get clear and concerned of what I want. I have to visualize and see it happen before it happens. Because if you're going to see anything happen, you've got to see it in your mind. Then you can hold it in your hand. That is the principle of faith. And that's what we see in the scriptures also. And what I was going to share about Finney, which really blessed me and blew me away, actually, it was Kim asked him a question. How do you score those goals, Vinny? Because he scores many wonderful goals. He says, I see it in my mind, Nana. And so that's what he basically said. I see it in my mind. And that blew me away, because I know when I played football at 9 years old, I was always stuck in defence because I was a big 9 year old. And so they stuck me at the back and I always wanted to play at the front. And I remember getting hold of the ball, running from the defence side all the way down to the halfway line. And as I was running, I could see myself scoring a goal from the halfway line. And as I reached the halfway line, I already played it out in my mind. And I run down to that halfway line, I kicked that ball, and that ball went straight in to the goal. It was amazing. And it was a great goal. And I ran up to the teacher, I said, sir, I kept saying I was going to score a goal. I kept saying I was going to score a goal. I was all excited. And he said, oh, well done, Lawrence. His name was Mr. Moffat. I'll never forget that day and never forget that teacher either. He was a great teacher. He always encouraged me greatly out of all the teachers. And I scored that goal by just seeing it. I literally see myself doing it. And this is the operation of faith. This is how faith works. And so, you know, what you can consistently see on the inside of you, you will eventually experience on the outside. And before anything ever becomes visible in the life, it has to be formed in the unseen realm of your imagination. It's going to be in the mind. Imagination is not just thinking. It is the inner workshop of where faith is painted. Where, you know, faith paints the pictures. Where vision takes shape and where God's promises become real ever before they're manifested. See, if your imagination is filled with fear, limitations and failure, that's what you live. But when your imagination is filled with God's truth and victory, you begin to step into it. Now, when I first got born again and when I first met Kim, I was really kind of a fearful person. When I love, and I was always worrying about this, worrying about that. Is this going to happen? That going to happen? And all these different type of things would go through my mind. And I really wasn't the person like I am today. And it's taken time to build my faith because I didn't have the words of God. I didn't have that until I took a class, you know, and started to learn. I mean, I had all the religion and all the traditions from the church, and they helped me somewhat. But it's as I desired to know more. And really, I was driven by fear, in a way, to get out of where I was. I knew that God was there, and I knew that God didn't want me to be fearful. But I didn't know how to get rid of fear. And then I started to learn about what the scripture says about it, that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And there's no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, for fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I started to then say these wonderful scriptures and truths from God's word about who I was. And then I read a book called, it was a chapter of a book called The Bible Tells Me So. And it was, well, Dr. Wells was talking about visualization. And that, you know, if you want to be released from your mental prisons, he was talking about prisons, that there's prisons or bars of steel. He said, but there's also prisons, mental prisons, where people are encased with fear and worries and doubts and stuff like this. And he said, if you want to get out of your fear, you've got to get an image in your mind of what you truly want. And he said, just like he said, the camera offers the perfect analogy. You've got to get that picture of what you want, like you would the camera. You aim the camera at what you want to get into focus. You get everything into place, and then you focus in, and then you take the picture. He said, then you've captured that image. And he said, this is what we do, whatever it is you desire. You need to get the image of what you want in your life to get rid of the image of what you've already got. And once you've got that image in mind of seeing yourself healthy or seeing yourself prosperous or seeing yourself in good relationships, get the image in your mind of what you want in that picture and then take the picture. And he said, and this is the keys to release. And it really is. Imagine, and it's all through the scriptures. Imagination is all through the scriptures. And this word imagination comes from the Hebrew word, well, there's different words, and it's yatzah. And this word yatzah means frame, forming, or conception, meaning the shaping or forming of the thoughts in the mind. Isn't that powerful? Right? So, you know, whatever you're focused on, whatever you're bringing in your imagination and you visualize, that's what will come to pass. So you've got imagination where you're forming the pictures, you're forming the images. And then you've got the visualization, which is the stay in your mind on that. So there's two different things, and they work together. Imagination and visualization is two different things. But they work together. And so you focus. Like people say, I need to go and focus. I need to spend time with God and focus. And what are you doing? You're focusing on what God says about you and who you are in Christ and what you have. You might be strapped for money. So you go to God, and you're getting peaceful, and you're getting focused. Father, I know your word says, you supply all my need according to your glorious riches by Christ Jesus. I know your word says that if I sow my seed, you'll multiply my seed, so you'll increase the fruits of my righteousness, and you'll cause all grace to abound towards me. I know, Father, that you are my sufficiency in all things, and I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything as of myself. I know if I cast my bread upon the waters, it'll come back to me after many days. All these different wonderful, great and precious promises, you know, we meditate on and get our minds focused so that we can get the image of our deliverance in our minds. And then we pray it and we stay our minds on it. We take the picture by confession. We need to take action also. Like when Vinny got the picture of his mind scoring the goal, he had the image, but he needed to go and do it. And he actually went and done it. And so you can do exactly whatever you desire to do and what you want to do, whatever comes to your mind, which God is energizing in you. And it also works faith or fear. If you've got the wrong images in your mind, you're going to build that up in your life, aren't you? And then you're going to start, you know, worrying about the debt. And then you're thinking, oh man, the debt collector's going to knock on the door. Oh, the debt collector's going to start taking things from my house. No, I've been there. I've been there on that one. You know, but when you start changing the pictures, you start changing the words, you start changing the images, and you start getting the promises of God in there, and you start your confessions of faith, man, everything starts to change. So this is really, really powerful stuff. Like in Genesis 6, you know, it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was, this is talking about men, was only evil continually. So the men and women back in that day, in Genesis 6, which is not long after creation, their imaginations were continually evil. So imagination is not random. It's something formed and continually developed. It's something that is focused on. Genesis 11:6 says, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, that's in the context of the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build this tower that went all the way to heaven. And it says that God come down and had a look and see how they were doing. And he said, you know, we're going to have to sort something out here because nothing's going to stop them because of the imagination of their heart. For they speak with one tongue. They were all in agreement. These people, they all spoke the same language. They all had the same words. They all had the same image of what they were going to do. And nothing would stop them. And their languages were divided up, right? So Tower of Babel, Babel, you know, they babbling on. And so the vision was broken. You know, sometimes we can have a vision of the future of what we want to do, but then we lose the focus because maybe when we were young, we wanted to be a superstar or a great footballer or a boxer or a ballerina or ice skater. But then you get into a relationship, you get distracted away from it. And then you fall in love, and then you want to go and get married and all that type of stuff. And then all the great potential you had to become something is faded away because of the distraction. And because, you know, you were taken away and from the focus of what you really wanted to do. But what you consistently focus on, you know, then there's limited potential. You know, you can really achieve what you want. If you want to become the heavyweight, if you're, you know, a heavyweight or a middleweight, if you want to become the champion of the world and you've got that focus and you've got that drive and you see yourself doing it and you're aiming yourself towards it, man, you can achieve it. Lots of people become heavyweight champions of the world and middleweight champions and lightweight champions because they go for what they want. A lot of people get the dream business they want, or the dream women they want, or the dream home they want, because they're go-getters. They're acting on the images and the desire that's in their hearts and minds that have been built up. So imagination is massive. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the word thinketh carries the idea of being calculating, envisioning, forming internal pictures. Because our life flows from the inner image in our minds. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're going through a tough time, just look back on the times that you had a tough time. Where was your mind? What was the images going on? Where was your confidence? What were your words? You know, so what we're thinking in the minds, we're going to be speaking with our mouth. So to change it is a practice. We need to get the right words from God and practice that. So when we're doing confessions, like people practice the I am confessions, you know, I am righteous, I am justified, I am holy, I am beloved, you know, I am the head and not the tail, I am above and not beneath, I am a super conqueror, I am prosperous, I am healthy, I am successful. So these are I am confessions. The more you say that, the more those words are getting down into your heart. And that's where faith comes from, the heart, right? So words are being sown in the heart, and that's what is being produced. See, your mind is like the garden. And then the words are the seeds that are going into your garden. And it all depends what you incubate within your mind. You know, if you incubate on the negative words and the negative life and the worries, the fears, the doubts, that's what you will end up start manifesting. But when we really drive our mind, and it's tough at times because there's a lot of challenges, right? So I'm not saying this is real easy, but with God, it becomes easier because it becomes fun as well, because we can start seeing what we want. Now, start seeing yourself, if you're struggling financially, start seeing your wallet and your purse filled with money. Like, it sounds stupid, but start seeing that you've got loads of it. And then in your mind, look at your bank account and put the digits there that you want to see in there and start praying to God, thanking God it's that way, speaking that way. Don't come from a place of lack and I haven't got it. Don't even confess you haven't got it if you haven't got it. No, I practice this way and my finances changed. Plus I'm honoring God and I'm looking to God and I'm letting God show me what to do. And then I've got the boldness now to share this with other people so that they can experience this themselves, right? And, you know, so there's, again, you know, we just got to watch what we're thinking. Like if you look in Romans, the book of Romans chapter 1, it talks about the people there and the imagination of their hearts. It says they became vain, empty in their imaginations. They became vain in their imagination. This is talking about the people that like, you know, the same sex type of things, the stuff like that, right? You have to read it to understand, you know, get the context of what I'm saying. But these guys, their imaginations became focused on those things. The, you know, the homosexuals and lesbians and all that. It's talking about that. And so their imaginations was empty. It was misaligned. It wasn't lined up with truth, right? It was fear-based. It was dark thinking. And you don't want to get your thinking in the place of dark thinking. Worries, fears, doubts, debt, death. How am I going to survive? And all this type of thing. We have to change it. And like 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So not all imagination is good. Okay? And we're commanded to cast down those bad imaginations, the wrong images. That's what it is reasoning. And we replace them with the truth. We replace them with the lights of God's word. We see ourselves as God sees us, righteous, justified, sanctified. Well, what does that look like? Well, just look at Jesus. Just look at the life of Jesus Christ. Look how he lived his life. He was all those things we proclaim and confess him to be. We are righteous. We are justified. We are sanctified. We are redeemed. What does that look like? Just look at Jesus Christ. Look at the life he lived. That's who he was. That's who we are now. So visualization is the intentional use of the imagination guided by the truth of God. That's what we want. Like in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith sees things before it happens. You've got to see it in your mind. And I've been saying it for the last 6 years. No, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. So that's what we practice. Lots of sportsmen and, you know, people in all different levels of sport have visualization. They know about visualizing, getting the goal, aiming for the knockout, aiming for the touchdown. They get it in their mind. Even Moses knows seeing the victory. In Hebrews 11:27 it says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses saw the invisible. In other words, he saw through spiritual visualization. You got to see what you want. I'll give you some more examples in a minute. So God uses visualization. Like Genesis 13:14-15. Lift up thine eyes. All the land which thou seest, I will give thee. God told this to Abraham. He said, look, see, envision and possess. So he told Abraham to look. Look at all this land, giving it to you. So Abraham looked, he's seen it, and then he has to see himself living in it. Right, God said, I've given it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Or I've given it to you. Jeremiah 1:11-12, what seest thou? And Jeremiah answered, and God said, thou seest well. So God works with what you see internally. That's why faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of God, hearing those heavenly words, hearing those great and precious promises from the word. Like when I say this verse here now, you are more than a super conqueror. Whatever challenge you've got, say, I am more than a super conqueror. I'm going to conquer this situation. I live from the place of triumph. See yourself ruling over the situation that you're in. Call abundance to you. Right? All these things you can do. So like, you don't want to live like this, like the children of Israel in Numbers. It says, you know, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Do you see yourself as a grasshopper in your situation? Because if you do, you won't enter the promised land. See yourself as victorious. See yourself as abundant. See yourself as blessed. Don't see yourself small and defeated like these guys did. We got to see ourselves how God sees us. God sees you in Ephesians 1. He shows you the power and authority of Satan, of the enemy, and he shows you your power and authority, which is far above all that rule of the devil. In Judges, it says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon saw weakness, but God gave him a new internal picture, a mighty man of valor. So transformation starts with changing what you see. That's the renewing of the mind, right? We're not the old person anymore. That old nature of ours is dead. It's been crucified. See, the power we've got is the power to overcome sin, overcome weaknesses, overcome those things that stop us, overcome those things that seem like they're strongholds, because they're not. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not doing it in our own strength or effort. You can't renew your mind through your own effort. We renew our mind by following and saying and thinking and doing what God says. That's how we are transformed. We get a new figure in our mind by confession, by acting. We see ourselves as God sees us. This is how you renew your mind. It's not that, well, I've got to work really hard to stop swearing. No, you practice not to swear. You know, I used to be terrible at swearing. I still swear now, but I used to be really worse than that. But it's come down quite a lot, you know, after all these years. Right? So we learn to control our thinking. We learn to catch our words before we let them out of our mouth, especially if they're negative. So God is working in all of your situations right now. All of you that may be struggling financially will see a great increase, a great flood of an abundance coming in, which will put you over in life. So you don't have to even think about money. You know, you make your confession, I don't even have to think about my debts anymore because it's all paid. God has provided everything for me. Money just comes to me. The resources that I need, they flow to me. God makes a way where there seems no way every time and way before the time. We got to change how we think and how we speak. And sometimes you might need to change who you hang around with as well and who you're telling things to. If you like gossip, and I know some of you women like to gossip, sometimes us men like to gossip too. When you get together gossiping, be careful what you're saying because you'll reap what you say. You really will. Or you'll bring each other down in faith. So you want to be speaking, you want to be on point in your speech. Seriously, you don't want to be gasbagging, pointing out faults or negatives. Ain't going to get you nowhere, guys. It's going to get you to the same level. So you really got to up your game with your own words if you really want to start manifesting and walking in the power of God. Because God wants us all to manifest his blessings, and we really can, but it's up to you. It's not up to me. My job as a minister is to point these things out, which I'm doing right now. I pointed out to you about honoring God with your first fruits. What does that mean? The first thing that you do with your money is honor God. That's it. Simple as that. It's up to you. I can't make you do that. I'm not going to make you do that. I know what I do. I do honor God with my, that's the first thing I do. With your first fruits and all your increase. That's what God says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what do? We go and seek out what we're going to do first. We get God in on there somewhere. No, God first. That's what it means. It simply means that, doesn't it? It's not hard. It's not religious. It's not being, oh, he's being really religious. No. First things first, that's what it means. different kingdom, different rules. We're under a different rule now, and all the first rule is that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbour as ourselves, and we seek first the kingdom of God. We practice the things that he shows us because it's going to be beneficial to us. But the great thing is that God has given us free will choice. So you're free to be disobedient. That's all you're free to do, really. You're not free to please yourself, even though you can. Right? God's not dictating you. So, yeah, you're free. Free to get in bondage again. Free to go in debt again. Free to get a nervous breakdown again. Free to go in sickness again. That's what you're free to do. Because, you know, we're free to live unto God. That's what we're free to do. Stand fast in the liberty where Christ has made you free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the truth of this, right? But it's not that I'm being religious. I'm just pointing out what it says and the benefits of you if you do the things and the non-benefits if you don't do them, right? But the great thing is you do have that free will choice and it's up to us. So you are where you are today because of your believing, not because of anyone's teaching, not because anyone told you to do it. You believe that. You believe the lie if you're doing it the wrong way. You were disobedient. That's what it really is. These are the real words that we need to say. We kind of sugarcoat it with nice words so we don't lose people from the fellowship, right? But I'm just being honest with you. This is how it is, right? Anyway, so imagination. This is how the results are produced. It's the flow. We want to get in that flow. So the word enters. First thing we get is the word, and we want the words from God, not the words from the world. Then that imagination is forming from the words, right? So it's like a seed, isn't it? Like, you know, like when the seed is implanted into a woman, the baby begins to form, right? And then over time, the belief is built because we're feeding that. We're talking about honoring God, speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, praying for laborers. And so we're building that belief. And then the words are spoken along those lines and we're moving, we're practicing. And then we're acting. We begin to speak. We begin to minister. We begin to sow our seeds. And we begin to become faithful at that, right? And then the results appear. So I'll say to you now, look at your results. And it's from what you've done, from what you spoke, from what you applied, from what you listened to and what you did or didn't do. This is the truth of it. But thankfully, we've got God's grace that comes and covers our asses, right, at times, because we all need it, right? I'm just being straight here. I'm just being honest, and you can see it very clearly what I'm saying. So it's all down to us. What we got is down to how our attitude is, how we respond. Did we receive the words gladly? Did we reject the words in our heart and mind as we're listening? Oh, I don't believe the way he's saying that. Yeah, he's a little bit religious, that Lawrence, or he's a little bit hard, or he's a little bit this, or he goes on about this too much. See, it all depends where your mind is, you're the receiver. But these words, again, it starts. So the word comes, the image is formed, belief is built, words are spoken, actions are followed, results appear, right? Like in Mark 5:25, it says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole," right? I shall be whole. So she saw it. She saw Jesus. She said it. She did it, and she received it. She acted upon what she's seen, what she spoke, and she got the deliverance. She knew she touched Jesus' hem, she was going to be whole. But she seen that in her mind. She was saying it before she actually moved. Just like it reminds me of David with Goliath. He told the giant what he was going to do before he went ahead and done it. He's seen it already done. He practiced it. He lived that. Anyway, fighting off bears and lions. So this giant went up into David, and he had great full trust in God. So, you know, this imagination, it takes training. You've got to practice it, right? And you've got to feed on the right things. And what do we feed on? What God says. Joshua 1:8. Now thou shalt meditate in my words, day and night, God says. And that word meditate is that word, yatsar, I believe. And it means, you know, to mutter to oneself, to imagine. That's what that word means, this word meditate. God was saying, you need to say the word yourself. You need to focus on that. That's what you need to do. No, all this land would I give thee. The land of the Hittites and Shittites and all that stuff, right? All the heights, right? But the meditation needed to be there. Meditation is repeatedly seeing the victory, repeatedly seeing him taking the land, right? So you picture the promise. See yourself healed. See yourself provided for with great provision. See the victory. Don't live with a poverty mindset. Oh, let's go and see what bargains we can get. Let's get the cheapest things. No, that's a poverty mindset. God wants you to be abundant. He wants you to eat the fruit of the land, the good fruit of the land. He wants you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to scrimp and scrape by. Yes, he wants you to be good stewards of what you've got, but that doesn't mean to say you've got to be stingy. You've got to go for the least things all the time. God wants you to be abundant, and he wants to give you the good. Listen, if you had a brown apple and a perfectly beautiful green apple, and God himself was going to give it to you, what do you think he'd give you? The brown apple, or, you know, the brown kind of turn, the apple on the turn, or would he give you the real nice fresh one? God will give you the fresh one. So don't buy the one on the turn because it's a little bit cheaper. Set up your standards. Raise your standards. So get the picture of the promise. I am healed. I am delivered. I am provided for. I have the victory over this situation that is currently in my face, but I have the victory. It's already done. Make it vivid in your mind. Make it real. See yourself with that victory. See yourself with that healing. See yourself with the abundance. See yourself with the answers. And speak what you see. Like it says in Corinthians chapter 4, we have in the same spirit of faith, we speak. I believe, therefore I speak, right? But we reject the wrong images. We reject the fear. We reject the failure. We cast those imaginations down. We reject the lack. And we think, like it says in Philippians 4:8, only think on these things. What sort of things are lovely, pure, blah, 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 right? Go and read it for yourself, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And then you've got to live in the end result. And so you've got to see it done. See yourself there. See yourself raising the cup. See yourself raising your hand as the winner. See yourself with the results. Like, you know, with football is a great imagery thing, because you can see yourself winning holding the cup at the end of the tournament, and everyone, you know, receiving your medal. See yourself coming, putting the medal on you, or wherever it is you're after, right? Romans 4:17 says, call it those things which are not as though they were. That's what God does. That's what we can do also. We can call those things which are not as though they were. So God operates from the finished picture, and that's what we need to do. So your imagination sets the limits, right? Your imagination directs your faith, and your imagination shapes your future. And with God behind all of that, and with the right words, man, you can manifest all the great and precious promises of God, because that's what God wants you to do. And God wants you to guard your imagination and feed it with the right things, his words, right? And direct the images that you want, what you want in your life. That's what you focus on. And see yourself achieving it. You know, because this is how we live. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. So that's what I wanted to share along those lines. And I hope that helped you on the imagination and the visualization. You know, because imagination is the pictures that are being painted in your brain. Okay, and visualization is what you focus on that picture. And then you get your desired results. You speak in that way. You act towards that way. And I'm telling you now, this is how the great men and women of the Bible walked. This is how the great men and women in India and Nepal walk. This is how the great men and women in England and Europe and USA walk. So God bless you.